Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. A lot of NBA basketball to talk about in the Eastern and Western Conference playoffs. Have been somewhat surprising, to say the least. I thought going into the Western Conference Finals, we would have a series for the ages. And we're going to talk about the style and the matchups here in just a second. But it just had all the intangents to really be one for the making. And the underdog has come out and really popped the defending champs in the face. Last night, OKC takes a commanding 3-1 lead with a 118-94 win. The most impressive stat: Golden State scores just 12 points in the fourth quarter. Joining us right now to talk about this, we have Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, let's just dive right into it. I mentioned that stat. Golden State scores 12 points in the fourth quarter. Even more impressive, if you want to take it a step further, Klay Thompson knocked down a three about 10 seconds into the fourth quarter. So over the final 11 minutes, OKC holds Golden State to 9 points. That's unbelievable.
Well, you know what? It's just a really bad matchup. It's a really bad matchup, similar to the Spurs. Like, remember, we thought that, you know, the Spurs got old overnight. Wasn't the case. It was a really bad matchup. When OKC is playing on all cylinders, it's a really bad matchup. Golden State's very similar to the Spurs, if you think about it. They're not a uber-athletic team, but they're a smart team that can shoot and that usually does the right thing. They can play at a faster tempo than the Spurs, but they're very similar to the Spurs. And some of the advantages that Golden State usually has, they don't overachieve. But the biggest, there's two things that stick out to my mind that have really been the difference in the series. Andrew Bogut, he's really hurt because he's not able to do anything on the rebounds in terms of blocking shots. He's not able to do things he usually does to be effective. He's giving it a go because he's a tough guy, he's a warrior and all that good stuff. But he's not healthy at all, and that's really impacting their defense, especially going against two young guys that can finish around the basket. And also, Draymond Green has been neutralized. Only a handful of players in the league that can neutralize him. Kevin Durant's one of them. Anthony Davis is another guy that can give him problems. And LeBron James gives him some problems as well, even though he defends LeBron a little bit better than most guys. But with all that being said, Draymond Green has not done well in this series. He hasn't had a Draymond game. He hasn't had that 18-10-7 kind of game in this series. He hasn't been able to get off. So if he's not getting off, you're in trouble because he's the guy that starts everything for this team. As great as Steph and Clay are, Draymond's the guy. He's the linchpin. And if he's not going, they're in a lot of trouble.
The Warriors average 111 points during the regular season. You take a look at their scoring output, even in the last round. Outside of that one loss to Portland, they were over that total every single game. Outside of that one loss to Houston, they were close to being over that total in every single game. In this series, they've scored 94, 105, 118, and 102. OKC as a team, we've overlooked their defense as well, because during the regular season, they were second only to Golden State in points against.
Well, I'll put it this way. We've been waiting for this OKC team for a while, and there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of weird situations with them, but we finally got them. They're playing to their full potential, and let's say, you know what? Let's give Billy Donovan some credit on both ends. Defensively, they're being really physical at Steph, and they're not calling it. That's another thing, because it depends how the game is called. I bet you Thursday's game is going to be called a lot tighter, so when Steph's going through screens and getting grabbed, there's going to be a lot more touchy fouls called on Thursday than there has been in the first three or four games. But, you know, the defense is tighter, and they're just longer, so when you like to pass the ball a lot, it's a lot tougher to pass the ball when there's so many active hands and long arms around, because things are getting deflected. It's hard to fit passes in tight windows when you have a lot of long arms to worry about. And also, guys are jumping lanes. This is very difficult. It's one thing that the Warriors weren't prepared, you know, really weren't prepared for. But also, hey, let's call it what it is. OKC is playing very hungry, and it's starting on the defensive end. They're really getting into guys. They're really making things difficult for everyone, and they're big, especially Steven Adams. He's able to defend on the perimeter without fouling, and that's a huge thing. That's a very, very huge look. Being able to defend without fouling or being able to put your other defensive members in harm's way, that's a huge thing. And they've done a hell of a job thus far. It'll be very interesting to see what happens Thursday night. But OKC is a more hungry team, and they want it more. And you can tell how they're closing out on possessions, they're rebounding, and they're also getting out and running. They want it as a whole team more.
Again, our guest right now, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, as far as Oklahoma City goes, there was so much talk surrounding this team on if Kevin Durant would be returning next season. Could he mesh with Russell Westbrook? Is it time to throw in the towel? You know, there were some front office moves that not a lot of people were too hot on. Now, all of a sudden, this team is one win away from their second NBA Finals appearance in 5 years. We can throw out the idea of Kevin Durant leaving OKC now, right?
I mean, why would he? You know what I mean, when you have two young bigs that play the way those guys play, and when Serge Ibaka is like your second or third best big on any given night, you're in pretty good shape, especially if he's playing right. I don't see why he would leave. I mean, Russell Westbrook's a top five player, maybe even a top three or four player in the league. Why would he leave? Like, there's no need or reason to leave. They have a perfect situation there. They have a good coach. Who's gonna? You know, you can tell Billy Donovan is gonna make adjustments. That's one thing he's gonna do. You know, he hasn't pulled all the right strings this year, but the one thing he's gonna be able to do, especially in a series, is he's gonna put his players in the best position to win on both ends. And that's key. And honestly, I don't see another guy, especially for the first year. Billy Donovan's done a hell of a job. We look at it, but I don't see a better situation for Kevin Durant right now, unless he just wants to go to a bigger market, which I don't see to be the case. I don't see him really going anywhere, but. He's going to sign the one-year deal to get more money next summer, which I don't blame him for. So once he does that, then we'll see. But, yeah, he's not going anywhere. That's not going to really take place this summer. I mean, why would he? Unless they drop this series, that don't see happening. I don't see him leaving. I don't see Russ leaving. I think they're going to be together for a while. They make this finals run, and if they win a championship, why would they leave?
Speaking of Billy Donovan and finally having a coach that I believe that Kevin Durant has a lot of faith in, of course, he endorsed the Billy Donovan hire this past offseason. The minutes in this series, I mean, we can just take a look at last night's box score. Kevin Durant plays 41 minutes. Russell Westbrook plays 41 minutes. Robertson plays 40 minutes. Serge Ibaka plays 33. Not really relying a whole lot on the bench outside of Dion Waiters. Isn't that something? Dion Waiters, this guy has come from nowhere, and I'm glad to see it. You and I have talked about this, I know, on other shows. Waiters is a guy who was really searching to find himself. It wasn't going to work for him in Cleveland. He goes to OKC. A lot of people were ready to give up on Dion Waiters. He's found his niche with this OKC team.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, he's definitely found his niche. My thing with Dion Waiters is this. He was a lottery pick. Whether he should have been or not, it's a different story, but he was a lottery pick. Cantor was a lottery pick. So you got two guys that were top five picks coming off the bench. That's very impressive. You know, a lot of teams don't have that liberty. You got those two guys that can play that are really good players. And you know what? You got to give them credit. Billy Donovan gets it. You don't need a long rotation in the playoffs. I think that's one thing that's hurt Steve Kerr. The most is, you know, playing a lot of guys. Like some of the lineups going in, you know, into some of these quarters, especially the fourth quarter, like you think, why is he playing guys that many minutes? Because you need your star players out there. And Billy Donovan pretty much has Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook on the court at all times. And that's how it's supposed to be. You want to get your guys rest, of course. But at the same time, you got to have your guys out there. If you're trying to win a championship, you need to. This is May, all right? This ain't time to watch minutes to try to be cute with the minutes. I need my best players playing at all times. And, you know, the OKC's rotation is pretty much 8 deep right now. They bring off Cantor, Waiters, and Foy off the bench. That's pretty much about it. That's their 8-man rotation. And for right now, it's been very, very positive. And they're big, man. I've been very impressed with their big on both ends. Outside, Cantor's kind of shaky on defense. He's very shaky on defense. But on offense, all their bigs, their two bigs, can really finish around the basket, and Ibaka's been playing at a high level lately. So with that being said, that makes them very impressive going forward if they're able to close out this series.
We can flip over to the Eastern Conference because this series has really been fascinating as well. And, you know, I've been high on Toronto all year long. A couple of times during this postseason, I started to lose faith in them, but it seems like every time their back is up against the wall, they come to play. Tonight, Game 5, series tied 2-2. This is almost a must-win for Toronto if they want to come out of the Eastern Conference, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, you hit around that, Jordan. They're not winning a Game 7 in Cleveland for various reasons. If they want to win this series, they got to win tonight. And it's weird because Game 5 is usually the trigger game. Game 5 is usually that game where, hey, things get kind of crazy. Things get kind of wild, and, you know, each team's seen each other and whatnot. I still think Cleveland's the better team overall, but there's some things I've seen lately that kind of makes you say, as good as Tyronn Lue, you know, the job that Tyronn Lue has done has been really good, but he's still a rookie head coach. He's made some mistakes. I'm not a big fan of holding your starters, Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, out of a whole fourth quarter in exchange for Channing Frye. Like, I'm not a big fan of that at all. And they're going to have to adjust that going forward. But we'll see what happens. I still think Cleveland wins tonight and they win the series. But the way Toronto's played, now you're giving them hope. And when you have when you're playing an underdog, you don't want to give them hope. You want to kind of end their night quickly as possible. Now Toronto has hope, and next thing you know, you may have a tight game tonight. I don't think it will be, but if it gets close and you get a random player that can get hot, like a Terrence Ross or Patterson or something like that, you just never know. Like, so you have to be very careful. I think Cleveland gets back on track tonight, even though they're shooting too many threes. But Toronto, you can't count them out just yet.
No, definitely. Jameson, before I let you go, I want to talk NBA draft here for just a second. The Utah Jazz hold the 12th pick in the draft. I love the set of guys that they brought in earlier today for workouts. Demetrius Jackson all the way down to Thon Maker. The Jazz are in an interesting spot at 12. Have you heard anything of what direction the Jazz may be moving?
I haven't heard anything, but I'm going to tell you the same thing I always tell you about the Jazz and the draft pick. They need to trade that pick and some other picks, young guys, and get an established player. All right, the draft pick. Now, last year getting Trey Lyles at that spot was awesome. Like, that was a really good pick. He's eventually going to be their starting power forward in the next year or two. That's kind of how it is. And then, quiet as a step, I'd probably trade Favors now while his value's high and put Lyles in that spot now and have him grow into that spot personally. But that's just me. But you need to get an established guy. Enough with the drafts. You don't need to get any younger. Like, you don't need to draft another guy to, try to groom and whatnot. You need a guy that can play right away. And I don't know if you can get that at 12 in this draft. I would prefer them to package that pick and a couple of guys and get an established player out there that can help them score. Because their biggest problem is scoring. Putting the ball in the basket, their biggest problem right now. And they need to figure that out. Draft-wise, I understand why they're bringing guys in. But they don't need another young guy, Jordan. They have enough young guys. Go get a veteran that can score. And also, here's a crazy idea. Go make a run at Jamal Crawford. I don't know if he goes to Utah, but go make a run at him. A guy like that can get buckets and bunches, you need a guy like that can score at will when he's hot. I know he's getting up there in age, but you need a guy that can go for 15 and a quarter and it's not a shot.
Yeah, I want the Jazz to grab a penetration point guard. I think that's exactly what they need, especially with the emergence of Rodney Hood. It's going to be interesting for them where they're picking at number 12. I don't know what kind of value they could get in a trade, but you have assets that you could stack on top of that number 12 pick. And so it'll be interesting to see where the Jazz go with it. Jameson Walsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, you are all over the place, specifically this time of the year in the NBA Finals. Where can the listeners find more Jameson Walsh?
Man, always on this station. I actually got to be on ESPN 1480. In about 10, 15 minutes out in the Midwest, Fox Sports 1340 out in New Mexico. So I'm all over, man. And also at BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, you can always find me there as well. So it's a little bit of all over the place, man. It's a busy time of the year, but it's a fun time.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. Jameson, I appreciate the time. I know we'll catch up again real soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up straight ahead here on 103.9 FM and 750 AM.